You know, our worship song and our songs that we sing is what we make it. You know, we have to make it. Singing, I just love serving the Lord and praising Him in song and worship. This morning, I have a message. I think I would call it and think of it. Am I good? I think this is a little bit deeper message. I've never preached this. I said to Jill, I've never preached this message, but it's going to be preached this morning. I think it's a little bit deeper. So I look out and, you know, who I see. I think every one of us can handle this. So let's turn to the very last book in the Old Testament called Malachi. Malachi, that should be pretty easy to find, the very last book. Malachi chapter 4, very last chapter in the Old Testament. If you're there, I'd like to just read our main text. There's some supporting text, but let's read Matthew 4, verse 2. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now, Malachi, to lay a foundation, Malachi is one of the last prophets, if not the last prophet, that we have recorded in the Old Testament. This is like the last man standing. Malachi, he was a good man, he was a prophet, and he lived in a day when it was not, people did not really want to hear the word of God. Malachi is the last of the prophets, the last man of the Old Testament. He is the seal, the climax, the end of them. He stands in a darkening doorway in the following dusk of the night when for four long centuries it's going to be seemingly gone dark. It seems like God, in his providence, in his decision, and I'll explain this in a little bit, but he's going to go dark. He's going to go silent for 400 years. Four centuries, and that is a long time. When I think about the United States as being, you know, here for 230, 240 years, that's a long time for the Lord of hosts to go silent. And yet, some reason, he did. But Malachi condemns the sins of his people and his predecessors. In two aspects, he overreaches them. The worship of heathens, the idolatry, the evilness, the sinfulness of the nature. He just decided, and he wrote, that God was going to talk, he's going off the scene. Now, he didn't go in his spirit. The spirit never leaves. God's a good God. But, you know, for some reason, God kind of got weary. You know, God spoke and he spoke and he spoke and people weren't listening to him, so he sent the flood. He does so many things to get people's attention, and yet sometimes it doesn't happen. But he was a tough prophet and he lived in a tough time. He lived in a time when there was a wicked nation. People didn't want to listen to the word of God. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, I wonder where God is now. It's like, you know, God does so many things to get our attention. And he means it for good, but somehow, are we listening? Are we listening as a people? Are we listening as a nation? You know, we really like it when we hear, you know, wonderful, sweet words of the Word of God, and it is sweet. It's sweeter than honey in a honeycomb. I know those scriptures, and I know Psalms, and I can sing the songs, the Psalm in chapter 19, and I love it. But, you know, let me turn your attention to a scripture in Proverbs, but I want to ask you this question. Can I read any verse out of the scriptures tonight? Out of 66 books, can I read any verse in the Bible? Can I do it? Well, then turn with me to Proverbs 29:1. This scripture, to me, is the hardest scripture and the scariest scripture in the entire Bible. That's just my opinion. But it's here, and it's written, and it's written for a reason. God, you know, he's a loving God, but sometimes he gets a little tough with us. He chastises us. Proverbs 29:1 says, he, meaning everyone, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Oh my goodness. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but you know, it's like Malachi was living in a time when God, you know, was trying to get their attention, and Malachi was a tough preacher, and he brought it out, and yet the people would not listen. He that being often reproved hardens his neck. I would never want to be in that place where feeling like God's going to cut me off without remedy. We love the you know, like I said, we're a stronger body here. You folks have heard many messages, and we're here this morning, so let's see what God has for us. Verse 1. Let's read Malachi verse 4:1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn up them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. God's mercy. It was being stretched. It never leaves, and it never stops. But sometimes I think as people and as a nation, we're stretching it. We are stretching it. But you know what? Thank God he makes a way. How does he make a way? He makes a way. And how he's making a way is he's saying you could either fall into line with those that are doing evil, or you could fall into line those that are righteous and are growing in God. Verse 4, trust me, this will all come together. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now you have a choice. God's saying you have a choice. You can join those that are ignoring me, serving idols, being wicked, complaining, or you can grow up and you can grow fat like stall-fed calves. And what? How does that mean? They grow quick, they go strong, they eat a lot, and they mature, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow. So in the midst of a tough time, Malachi was saying, but there's a way out. You can grow. And you can still be in his realm and in his righteousness. One of the ways we grow is believe in the Bible's core issues. The Old Testament closes with a reminder of God's ultimate rule. Cultures change and technology advances, but right and wrong, sin and righteousness don't change. God himself defines some core issues. Shifting attention from the beginning of the law to the end of time, it changes nothing. We will be accountable for our obedience to God's revealed will at the time that he chooses. As always, when God's people come to and obey him, they will come to each other. When God is at work, we'll know it. When God is at work, we'll believe it. When God is at work, we'll trust it. God's timeless truth never changes. The fundamental issues are always understanding and that we need to be obedient to what God has revealed in the good book, in the scriptures. Live by them, and we can obtain peace and harmony in ourselves. Violate them, and the land is struck with a curse. I didn't say it. Look at the very last word in the whole Old Testament. We got to be careful. Jesus, we know, came to break the curse. But it's only through Christ. It's only through the word that we can have it. So many are living on the fence. So many are living down the middle. I don't want to take the left. I don't want to take the right. I want to live in the middle. Well, God wants us to live in him. He wants us to meditate on him, because in him is life. So When we grow in God, we believe in the core issues. We believe in His principles. I don't hear that word very often, but it's there. God believes, it wants us to believe in the principles that He's given to us. Sometimes if you don't know right or wrong, believe in His principles. Believe that we're to walk right, talk right, live right. Joseph, in the New Testament, he was to care for Mary and his mother, and an angel came to him and said, hey, take Mary, take your baby, and flee into Egypt. And in the New Testament, it says that Joseph said, that Joseph believed it, took his child, took Mary, and got up. And getting up is something that sometimes we have to do. And sometimes it's hard. You know, we all face tribulations and trials, and we all face this pandemic. But you know what? Being led by God. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Because we should be growing up in our personal life, in our personal walk, in our personal relationship with Him. Growing up, because Malachi said we have that option. We can grow fat like stall-fed calves. Talking about our inner man, our inner spirit, our inner being, our soul, we grow fat or we grow lean. Choice is ours. Some are growing lean. Some are taking advantage of not being able to come to church, and some are growing in God. Some places are going leaner, and some places people are beginning to find that, oh yeah, they're hearing things and they're knowing things because it's coming out over, you know, Facebook or coming out. God's using it. But Joseph, he got up. No debate, no delay, but he immediately obeyed. When we serve the Lord and we begin to grow, we begin to be willing and wanting to obey Him in all that He asks us to do. Years ago, I had so many people in my family up north when I was married to Roxanne. I found this with their family that didn't serve the Lord, and they used to tell me, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, you know what? Here's how you can tell if you love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, what would you do? He said, you'll keep my commandments. So there is ways to tell if somebody loves the Lord. But Joseph's obedience was wonderful, but it took his heart to lead him there. The Bible has much to say about fathers and families. And I don't want to go there, but, you know, it's just that to be complete, I think we need to grow fat, you know, get bigger, grow more in our lives, grow more spiritually. It's awesome that God makes a way. He makes a way. But God was about to go silent in the book of Malachi. He it's almost like, if I could, and it's just my opinion, it's like I've had enough. Because in Malachi verse 3, and it gets kind of deep and gets a little complicated, but he said, I'm going to send... God said, through Malachi, he said, I'm going to send John the Baptist. He didn't say his name, but he said, I'm going to send a messenger, and he's going to prepare a way for the Messiah. So you're not going to hear from me for a long time, but I am preparing a way. So when we get prepared, God will lead us. He'll lead us by His Spirit. The scripture says, if as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I want us to be led. I want us to grow. I don't want us to stay as small calves. In Malachi, he was a tough preacher and living in a really evil time. And yet he said, we can do this. There is a choice. He said, but you can grow as the calves that are cattle fed and growing strong. Let's simplify this. The Holy Spirit leads us onward and upwards, and He leads us in our hearts. We don't hear audible voices. I have had dreams that I know and believe that are from the Lord, but you know, God will make a way. He'll make a way. Growth is the goal of the Christian. Maturity, is it a choice or is it mandatory? I'm saying maturity and growth is mandatory because, you know, it's like a car. If you have it neutral, it doesn't go backwards or forwards unless it's on a hill. But where to go? Where to grow stronger? Or put it in drive. Put it in drive. Growth is the goal of the Christian. Maturity is mandatory. Grow, grow, grow. If a child ceased to develop, the parent would be really concerned, right? When a child stops growing, help is needed. If you were the Christian a few months ago that you still were, then you shouldn't be. We should be. If we're still the same as we were last year, in the year before, we shouldn't be. We should be growing. You might be wise to have a checkup. And this is a checkup that the doctor doesn't have anything to do about. We need to check. And that's why when we have communion, we should be checking in our lives and we should be checking in our souls. And like Gene said, we should be saying, oh God, make me pure, make me right, forgive me. You know, before communion, you know, it's a time to reflect and say, Lord, you know, just humble ourselves. In ourselves, we don't like to be humbled. In ourselves, we like to be macho. I'm macho. I'm the man of the hour. I'm the man with the power. You know, but God wants to humble us. And he takes our heart and he can do that. Here's one that we kind of work on. This is called application. Sometimes, you know, you hear a message and you say, how can I apply that? It's application. We can be led by the Spirit. We can grow. And we can suggest that we check maybe to see what our habits are. What are our habits? Are our habits prayer? Are our habits study? Are our habits giving? Are our habits fellowship? Everything in our life kind of comes together. Who do we hang with? Who do we want to be like? Maturity and growth comes with our choices. So, I want to grow. I want to grow. Wow. That guy's getting big. That cow is getting big. He's growing fat. See? We're growing inside. We want our spiritual man to be fat. Look at Jonah in the fish in the belly of the big fish, surrounded by gastric juices, sucked in by seaweed, surrounded by blood and yuck. He prays. Trust me, I'd pray too. But Jonah prayed. He prayed, and just about before, this is just my opinion. Just before he said amen, he gets spewed up on the beach. God will get our attention. And God always has a man. God always has a man there. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. His prospects weren't very good. Because back then, some were thrown to the lions and they got eaten. There are martyrs in Revelation that says that died. So, that, you know, at that time, you wonder, is that Daniel going to be a martyr? Is he going to be saved? It's always God's choice. My background, 30 years and more, says God will always save you. Well, I have news for you. There's martyrs. There's people that didn't make it. But Daniel was in a lion's den. And God said to his angels, go. The scripture says he has ministering angels. Go. Shut the lion's mouths. I don't want Daniel to pass away. I don't want this to be his day. So today's not Daniel's day. God saved him out of the lion's den. Jonah, he was swallowed and didn't die. I'd feel like I was dying if I was in the belly of a whale. Some people say, it's not the whale. I'll tell you what, if it's a big enough fish to swallow me, it's going to be a really big fish. Call a big fish, you're a whale. It's gonna be a big fish, and I wouldn't want to be there. And he got there all because he didn't want to grow. He didn't want to do what God said to do. Oh, how often do we get in trouble sometimes because we just don't go where God says to go? We just don't say what God says to say. I'm speaking this because we can handle this. We can grow. We're old enough Christians in here. We can manage this. We can handle it. Let's grow. Let's be great. Malachi 4:2 gives us the answer. He gives us that analogy that we can, you know, boost ourselves. And look at Joseph in the pit. When he was in the hot desert, his brothers put him in a pit, pulled the wool over his eyes, and he could not get out. He was in so deep. It didn't seem like there was any way out, and he suffered. He went, he was rescued, but he suffered 13 years before he was found in the courts of the great king. 13 years in prison. Oh, my goodness, it doesn't seem possible. But in his heart and in his spirit, he continued to grow. No matter what we go through, no matter what we're in, we have the ability to continually seek him, look to him, and allow God to work in our lives. Joseph was in a very tough spot. 13 years in prison, not knowing the future. But God had a plan. God had a plan, and he was going to bring him out. And he did rise and rose him to power and gave him we have a wonderful, wonderful story of God's goodness, his plan to meet with his brothers, his plan to save his family. Oh, my goodness. Don't ever think that God doesn't have a plan and that he doesn't have good things in store. But if we follow the ways of the world, if we follow the evil ways, if we just forget God, then that's our choice. We ignore him. We can be. You know, sometimes I think it's a rejection of Christ. It's not sometimes what people do. It's the rejection of Christ that they end up in a sad place. But in the Bible, we have many illustrations after another of people who were kind of like on the chopping block, but then Calvary comes, help comes. Paul and Silas was in the prisons, and it seemed like there was no way out. They were in chains, and that God chose to send an angel. There is help. There is truth. There is a way out. But it has to be us growing. Because, you know, anything that's left alone begins to die and begins to wither away. Some people don't feel like they need fellowship. Some people don't feel like they need the church scene. But we need fellowship. We need each other. Queen Esther, she was in a place in her life. She ended up, it's a long story. We watched Queen Esther recently, and it was so marvelous. Put on Sights and Sounds. In fact, it's on today at what time? 3:00. If you want to see a marvelous production of Queen Esther. Jean and I watched it yesterday. It's just marvelous. Today's the last day at 3:00. It cost you a few dollars, but it's so worth it. But Queen Esther got in a place where God placed her in a difficult situation. She had to come before her husband and the king. Back then, you only came before him when he summons you. But when you came before him, if he didn't summons you, if he didn't hold out his scepter, if he didn't hold out his thing, you weren't accepted. She had to put her life on the line for her people, to save her people. And God had placed her in a position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And God places you. None of us, are great politicians or millionaires, or we're not in places where of high power or high authority, of high knowledge, but no matter who you are, I believe God places you where you are. And then we have to grow in that place. We have to grow in that place and be strong. Truth will triumph. Victory is ours if we take it. So how do we want our inner man to grow? How do we want our spiritual man to look? Do we want it to look like the small calves that were there in the very beginning, or do we want to grow up? That's a subliminal message that came Thank you so much, Brother Dave, for bringing that to us, because it's a subliminal message through it all that he continually grows as calves and then grows big and grows stronger and grows more mature. It's a question we can only ask ourselves, but God makes a way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's a light into our feet and a light into our pathway. God, I pray that, Lord, you'll not be upset with us. God, I pray that you would have forgiveness and mercy and compassion. We pray that you won't go dark on us, oh God. We just pray that we'll just be willing and able and obedient to you and be led by your Spirit. Help us to grow. Help us to mature, Lord, the way you want us to be. We don't want to stay calves. We don't want to stay young Christians forever. But God, we want to become what you want us to be. And we know that if we stay in your word, look to you, that it will happen. We will be obedient. We will be led by your Spirit. We pray that you help each one of us as we go this week. For those listening, God, we pray that you'd minister to them in a special way. For those that are hurting, God, we pray that you'd just console them, comfort them, and surround them with your love and your mercy. Lord, you are a merciful God, but we want to fear you. We want to fear you to the place that we'll serve you in willingness and obedience. And then we find that we'll find a relationship to where we love you so much that we don't want to do wrong, but we want to do right. God, make us righteous. Take our filthy righteousness and make them into something glorious, and make us fit for the bride. There's a bride. And help us, Lord, to be ready for the second coming, the rapture. And we'll just be careful to praise you in that wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.